You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Before I begin to answer the questions I posed last week, let me remind you of something you should be doing this month, February, which we ought to start calling Love Your Race Month. Starting now, the National Alliance is once again making its Love Your Race campaign into an international outreach movement of worldwide scope, a Valentine's Day present to all European-descended people of goodwill around the world. Our message, love your race. In the text version of this broadcast at nationalvanguard.org are high-resolution downloadable copies of our simple and beautiful Love Your Race flyer in 29 different European languages. Download the one appropriate for your nation, and all this month, with a special emphasis on Valentine's Day, the 14th, distribute them as widely as possible. If you can provide a verified translation for a European language which doesn't appear on our list on National Vanguard, please send it to us via our contact form on this website or by writing to us at Box 4, Mountain City, Tennessee, 37683, USA. That contact form is at nationalvanguard.org. And once again, the postal address is Box 4, Mountain City, Tennessee, 37683, USA. Be sure and let us know how many of these flyers you've printed and distributed so we can encourage others. There are myriad legal ways to give these flyers to people in your community, so always distribute them lawfully. Thanks to the volunteers who gave us these translations, and thanks to every single one of you who does what it takes to get the word out. I hope we pass each other on the street as we spread our message of love and community.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
In ancient times, man roamed the earth in a constant state of hunting or being hunted. Introducing Caveman, where cutting-edge science meets ancient super nutrients. Secure your bottle right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
They say you can't take on the man and win. That one small company doesn't stand a chance against the corporate behemoths with all their money and lawyers. But they don't know Harry's. How's Harry's done it? Simple. By owning the factory and selling directly to you. Harry's sells their incredible razor blades online. They ship directly from their site to you and do it for a lot less. And while those other guys rake in huge profits, Harry's passes the savings directly back to you. The result? A quality shave and more money in your pocket. Don't believe it? Try Harry's for yourself for free. Just pay $3 in shipping when you sign up. Your set comes with a razor, shave gel, travel cover, and a post-shave balm. That's an almost $20 value, free. There's no catch and no commitment. You can cancel anytime. And quality is always guaranteed. So go to Harry's.com now and enter code 5000 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 5000. Again, 5000.
Are there laws of race formation and evolution just as there are laws of motion and attraction? I believe there are, though the most important of these are almost never mentioned in public discourse because they run directly counter to the narrative by which the current powers that be maintain their rule and their riches. Just as the discovery of the natural laws of motion and cosmology and the rediscovery of true science, philosophy, and other elements of our race's classical heritage challenged the narrative of the powers that be that existed several centuries ago. Now, let us consider the simplest, most basic, and most important of these laws. I claim no originality for the idea I'm about to express, though you've probably never heard of it before. After I explain it to you, you will be astounded that it wasn't taught to you in school. Astounded that you never heard of it before. You never heard of it because its implications have the power to shake the power structure that misrules us to its core. The principle is this. Life is continuously evolving in the direction of ever greater differences, and it is evolving only in that direction. Life began with the first molecule capable of self-replication. Purpose, that is, survival of the life form and its descendants, and morality, that is, actions that lead to a greater chance of survival, were born at that moment. Though complex by molecular standards, these first glimmerings of the life force were very simple compared to even the single-celled life forms that came later. From the development of the cell wall, a kind of border wall, if you will, which was the first demarcation between the creature and the other creatures around it, and between the creature and its environment, to the development of multi-celled colonies, and eventually multi-celled creatures sharing the same gene patterns and possessed of a single purpose, to the development of sense organs and response mechanisms capable of detecting changes, opportunities, and dangers in the environment and dealing with them, to the development of consciousness, memory, emotion, instinct, and reason. Life has taken a path of ever-increasing complexity, capabilities, consciousness, and differentiation over time. It has become ever more different from non-living matter. It has become and is becoming ever more different from the simple life forms which began the process. At the beginning, utter simplicity and sameness. At every step of evolution, in the billions of years since then, more and more difference from those simple beginnings. More and more difference from the steps immediately before the current step in the evolutionary process. Constantly, in a never-ending process that will last and must last as long as life exists, ever-increasing differences over time. This principle of ever-increasing difference rules life, not only in the dimension of time, but also in the dimension of space. As creatures obey the morality of survival and expand their kind into new territory, they compete with other life forms already in those new territories. The creatures with the best gene patterns among their kind for that particular environment and that particular situation and that particular competition are selected for and prevail. And so the process of change continues. A species that was once one spreads out into new areas, evolves slightly differently in each area, and eventually forms new subspecies or races of the same species. If these differences and the separation persist, the subspecies eventually become new species. Space and time are inextricably linked, and the ever-increasing differences seen in life forms when distances increase reinforce the differences that are generated by the life process over time, and vice versa. So as you explore the history of life in space-time, you find the principle. The further you travel from any given point in space or time, the differences increase. Except in one direction. That direction is the past. In fact, one way to distinguish past and future is this. The future is the direction of ever-increasing differentiation and upward evolution of life forms. And the past is the direction of ever-increasing sameness and oneness. If you follow that backward path far enough to reach oneness, you also reach death. So according to this principle, let me ask you, is racial separation in accord with the natural laws of life and evolution? Does racial separation serve the life force and true morality, or does it hinder them? Seen in the light of this principle, let me ask you, are racial equality and a diverse society in accord with the natural laws of life and evolution? Do the ideas pushed by the media and the power structure and the churches and the school system today, the ideas that there is only one race, the human race, that large-scale racial mixture is good and inevitable, and that borders should be torn down. Do those ideas serve the life force and true morality, or do they hinder them? The law of ever-increasing differences as life evolves is but one principle of evolution that our people must understand. But it is a most important one. If you do not understand it, there is almost nothing else you can understand rightly. It is most instructive to contrast this principle of evolving life with the very nearly opposite principle of entropy, the idea that the universe as a whole is winding down, becoming less complex, with less and less highly differentiated states of matter and energy. I cover that idea in my broadcast series, The White Race and the Arrow of Time, which is archived on our website, nationalvanguard.org. I encourage you to listen to it. What do I mean when I refer to organized Jewish interests and their allies and employees as the enemies of life? Is that a metaphor or something very real? Well, if you've come with me this far, you can probably guess the answer to that question. The Jewish power structure, which currently dominates the West, is determined to replace, mongrelize, and thereby exterminate the most advanced race on the planet, our race, the European race. If they succeed, the best and probably only chance for life to escape the bonds of Earth, the best and probably only chance to avoid the eventual death of all life by cosmic collision or other catastrophe, would die with us. To understand why the European race is by far the most advanced, and why we face certain death if we do not find new homes in the stars, please see my programs, The White Race and the Arrow of Time, Part 2, and Cosmic Catastrophe. They're both available at nationalvanguard.org. The Jewish power structure wants a slave world, a world in which other races cannot compete with the apex-level Jews for power. The European races' best minds are just as intelligent and more creative than those of the Jews. Thus, we are a threat to their power, to their apex status. Replacing us with lower races through racial mixing and outright replacement is their plan. The plan is sold to the gullible as love and diversity and morally right through the mass media in the hands of the Jewish elite. But this vision of a Jewish world, their slave world, is a static vision of a materialistic, quote-unquote, paradise of masters, slaves, eunuchs, pleasure and plenty. It comes from a mentality very different from ours. It is an earthbound, Middle Eastern vision, not a Faustian and cosmic European vision of ever-increasing knowledge and ever-increasing advancement and expansion and improvement. Their vision would mean death for us in the short term, and quite likely the death of any chance for life to escape the bonds of Earth. Thus, all who promote racial mixing, globalism, open borders, and the death of the white race are the enemies of life. What exactly do I mean by cosmic stakes? Again, you are probably starting to answer that question yourselves after following my ideas to this point. If our race does not survive, life has no meaning for us. But even further, if our race does not survive, all life may well perish as a result, and no greater tragedy is imaginable. I have said this before, but it is worth repeating. Everything that will ever be depends upon what we do with our lives right now. With our new spiritual and scientific knowledge, with the principles we at the National Alliance have been teaching you, with our glorious gene patterns that remain undimmed as long as white men and women exist, we can, and we will, have new Shakespeares, new Aristotles, new Pierces, new scientific discoveries, new lands and new worlds, new philosophies and beauty and truth and accomplishment greater than ever before. Athens and Rome and Berlin were only the barest beginnings of what is to come. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. The National Alliance is working to educate white men and women around the world as to the nature of the reality we must face, and organizing our people to ensure our survival and advancement. We need your help to continue. Please send the largest contribution you can afford to National Alliance, Box 4, Mountain City, Tennessee, 37683, USA. You can also help us by visiting natall.com/donate. That's natall.com/donate. Once again, our postal address is Box 4, Mountain City, Tennessee, 37683, USA. You can abbreviate Tennessee, TN. Until next time, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Tragedy introduced us to the heroes of San Bernardino's police department. But tragedy is routine in their city, where politicians slash their budget and cut their ranks. Now violent gangs wage bloody turf wars every night. They have all the guns they want, but law-abiding California citizens live in fear. Their governor says he serves them, while he releases 2,300 convicted murderers back to the same streets they terrorize. The elites lecture about compassion, but if there was even an inkling that these killers would head for Beverly Hills or Berkeley, they'd die behind bars. The elites and their families will always be protected. It's the law-abiding average Californians who face nightfall alone with their faith and what's left of their guns. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people, 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
You're listening to Resolution Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
Tragedy introduced us to the heroes of San Bernardino's police department. But tragedy is routine in their city, where politicians slash their budget and cut their ranks. Now violent gangs wage bloody turf wars every night. They have all the guns they want, but law-abiding California citizens live in fear. Their governor says he serves them, while he releases 2,300 convicted murderers back to the same streets they terrorize. The elites lecture about compassion, but if there was even an inkling that these killers would head for Beverly Hills or Berkeley, they'd die behind bars. The elites and their families will always be protected. It's the law-abiding average Californians who face nightfall alone, with their faith and what's left of their guns. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National Socialism, fundamentally, is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every National Socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker, nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of us, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a butt. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. Won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for the for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.